Log Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, students. Welcome to our lesson summary review for today. We're on our course, Bible Ethics, and we're on session number 6 this week, which is entitled, God Wants You to Care for Yourself. Now, this session will help the student appreciate their responsibility for their growth as a person. It will study specific ways God expects us to grow, and it will also identify biblical principles which will help us to grow. And as we always do, students, we want to encourage you to devote time to your personal devotions, because it is that personal relationship with God that is the most important thing. And the only way we learn that lesson of relationship with God is to have that fellowship and communion with Him. Now, as we go through this week's lesson, this lesson is particularly enjoyable for us to teach, and I pray it will be enjoyable for you to learn, because it deals with growth. We'll understand that God is committed to our growing in every area of life. And our growth involves change, patterns of living, thinking, relating, and feeling are not readily changed, but with the help of God's Spirit, anyone, young or old, can grow. And one of the good things about having a relationship with God is that you can be relieved knowing that you are not responsible for growing or changing yourself. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit that Jesus has given to us, because it is only He who can create within a person the desire to grow. Each of us may be growing at different rates and in different areas of our life. So as you listen to lesson review, I want you to reflect on your walk with the Lord and ask yourself, in what specific ways have I grown? Have I become more appreciative of my physical body as the temple of the Holy Spirit? Am I more desirous of filling my mind with things that honor Christ? Or perhaps has your interest in spiritual things grown? So think about these questions as you go through the lesson review about how your growth has affected your relationships with your extended family, as well as with those who you may work with. So this is a very exciting lesson for us. And as we always do, we want to prepare now to pray for each and every staff member and student of Grace Bible College Seminary. We're going to ask God to meet their every need, and that God will give them the desire to continue to grow. So let's seek the face of God even now. Father, we give praise and we give honor to you today. We thank you for every student and staff member of Grace Bible College and Seminary. We thank you for every person who is listening to the sound of my voice around the world studying with us. Father, may your Holy Spirit go upon us afresh today. May a fresh anointing, may a time of revival operate in the atmosphere of those who are listening today. I pray by your Spirit, O God, that you will quicken the desire for growth. You will help us to identify and recognize the areas of growth in our life. Also help us to see the areas where we need to ask your help to grow. And so as we submit our mind and our hearts to you today, may you teach us your word, and may you teach us your will, and may you give us the spirit to obey. In Jesus' Master's name, hallelujah and amen. Praise the Lord. Again, students, I welcome you to our lesson summary review. We're continuing with our course, Bible Ethics, which is one of our associate's degree in Christian theology courses. We're on session 6 this week, which is entitled, God Wants You to Care for Yourself. Now, as we start the introduction for this review, I want you to express in your own words the difference between a car and a human being. This is one of the study pages in your study guide where it asks us to make a comparison between a car, an automobile, and a human being. Now, if you remember that portion of your lesson, of course, we realize that we are far more complex than a car. Our knowledge of the most obvious things about ourselves, for instance, our knowledge about our mind, our emotions, our bodily functions, we are aware of these things that take place about ourselves, but yet our knowledge is still growing and limited. Because only God, who created us, knows how we work. Only He can make us whole in our mind, body, and spirit. And only God knows what is best for us. So this is why it's very important for us to understand what God's will is for our lives. And one of the first scriptures I want to give you, if you're taking notes this week, I want you to make note of Psalm chapter 139, verses 1 through 16. And as you look at that portion of scripture, you'll see that it describes God's perfect knowledge of us. It states that He who formed us in our mother's womb knows us. He knows our days. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knew us when we were in our mother's womb. So this lets us know that only He knows everything and that there's nothing that we can hide from God. Now, there are at least four major headings of this week's lesson that we're going to talk about. If you're taking notes, write these four headings down. The first major heading we're going to discuss is four ways God expects you to grow. Second heading is biblical guidelines for growth. So those are the two major headings, is the four ways God wants us to grow and the biblical guidelines for growth. And we're going to go over those in this week's review. Now let's take a look at our first objective for this week. The first objective asks us to give an example of four areas of growth necessary for the Christian to develop into a whole person. Now, I want to refer you to the example that your study guide listed, which is Luke chapter 2. And as you think about what you studied in this lesson, I want to explain that Luke's gospel gives us what little information we have about the youth and young manhood of Jesus. If you were to read verses 41 through 52 of Luke chapter 2, you should be able to identify the four ways in which Jesus grew. And we're going to comment on those ways during this review. So here are the four ways in which we see from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52, that Jesus grew. First, He grew intellectually. That is, He grew in wisdom. You can observe in verse 46 that Jesus listened to the teachers of the word in the temple courts. So this would be the equivalent of being in Sunday school in our day, or perhaps as you're doing, studying in a Bible college. So Jesus meditated upon the word of God. Second area, physically, He grew in stature. So we see in this example of scripture that Jesus was not an emaciated weakling, as many artists may have portrayed Him, but He was a strong and robust adult male. We understand that as a carpenter's son, He would have been involved at an early age in the physical labor of the carpenter's craft. So far we see He grew intellectually and He grew physically. A third way that we see Jesus grew was spiritually. And it says that He grew in favor with God. So we see that Jesus developed an intimacy with the Father through prayer. He was spiritually in tune with His Father's will, and He enjoyed God's favor or approval as a result. And then the fourth and final area in which we see Jesus grew, in which God expects us to grow, is socially. So we see he grew not only in favor with God, but he grew in favor with men. This tells us that Jesus was socially well adjusted. He enjoyed being around people and had a special fondness for children. So we can note the picture then is one of balanced growth and development as Jesus progressed from childhood to adulthood. And these are four areas in which God also expects each of us to grow intellectually, physically, spiritually, and socially. Now, if you look at your study guide in this section of our lesson, you will observe the word mentioned holiness. And holiness comes from the word wholeness or health. So Jesus, the perfectly whole person, was healthy in every area of his life. Paul tells us to become like him. Now, here's another portion of scripture that I want you to make note of now, and I want to read for you. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 and verse 15. And let me read verse 13 for you. It says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Look at verse 15 also. It says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. So we see, as we look at this first objective, the four ways in which Jesus grew and also the four ways in which God expects us to grow. So it's very important that we also be conformed, as the Apostle Paul says, to the image of Christ Jesus, to the fullness of his measure, as Paul said to the Ephesian church. So that was our first major heading and our first objective. Let's take a look now at our second major heading for this lesson, and it is the biblical guidelines for growth. We'll see that the Bible gives us guidelines for the different ways that we can grow. Not only does God expect us to grow in these areas, but he gives us guidelines or instructions to assist us in growing in these areas. So the first guideline we're going to talk about for growth is guidelines for your body. Objective 2 asks us to list the ways which help or prevent the development of a healthy physical body. And I want to refer you to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. If you have not already reviewed that portion of Scripture, go ahead and do so now. And as you review that Scripture, I'd like to ask you this question. Why do you suppose God is so interested in your physical body? And here are some things I want you to consider as you think about these things. Here are some scripture references that go along with them also. Some of the reasons why God is so interested in our physical body is that God created it, and it is part of his gift of life to you. You can see a reference for that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. A second thing we can note is that our body is for the Lord and is to glorify him by doing good deeds. You can see a reference in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13, as well as verse number 20. A third thing we can see about why God is so concerned about our body is that it is to be an instrument of righteousness. Take a look at Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Fourthly, our body is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. You can see two references in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. And a fifth and final thing that this part of our lesson talks about why God is so interested in our body is that it will be redeemed and resurrected. You can see a sample of that in Romans chapter 8, verse 23, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 through 49. So there you see some of the things that show why God is so interested in our physical bodies. And so I want you, students, to identify several things that are harmful to our bodies and that are displeasing to God. I want you to write them on a blank sheet of paper. And some of the things that you write down may include overwork. It may include overeating or drinking, excessive drinking of alcohol, a lack of physical exercise, sexual immorality, chemical dependence, drugs, lack of rest, improper diet. So all of these may be some of the things on your list, but these are some things that are harmful to our bodies as well as displeasing to the Lord. And we see five reasons why that is, how important our physical body is to God. Now, I also want you to look up Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. Verses 28 and 29. And I want you to think about whether this scripture is still relevant for our contemporary society today, and how does it apply to our lives. It basically says, Jesus says to those who he was teaching this day, to come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So this is some of the ways in which Jesus wants us to be concerned about our bodies. And he wants us to care for our bodies. We're studying session 6 of the course of Bible Ethics, which is God wants you to care for yourself. So far, we've looked at the four ways in which Jesus grew, as well as the four ways that he expects us to grow. Now we just finished looking at some of the biblical guidelines for growth. And our first biblical guideline for growth we looked at was guidelines for our body. So we want to be sure to come into Jesus and receive that rest that he promised those who are weary and heavy laden. Our second area, guideline for growth, is guidelines for our mind. We looked at the body, now let's look at the mind. Our third objective asks us to describe ways the Christian can develop his or her mind and talents and acquire wisdom. Now, I want you to make note of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And as you make note of that portion of Scripture, I'd like to explain that this is one of the most important verses in the Bible on the mind. And it would be helpful for you if you will memorize this verse and think about some of the key ideas that are contained in this verse. This verse basically says, and be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So let's take a look at some of the key areas of that verse of Scripture that will be very relevant and helpful for us as we follow the biblical guidelines for growth in our mind. The first thing I want you to make note of is the writer says, be transformed. That indicates a process, not an instantaneous event. And as a process, it is something that we have to work at throughout life. It is a continuing process of being transformed by the renewing. Once anything that you get that is new, eventually it has to be replaced or restored or renewed. And same is true with our mind. We must continually be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That is the second part. That's the second part that brings about the transformation. So he mentioned be transformed, secondly, by the renewing of your mind. That is, you stop thinking like you did before you came to Christ. And in order to do this, requires our obedience and the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding. So we must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's enablement to help us to stop thinking as we previously thought. There's another portion of Scripture where Paul said to the Corinthian church that When he was a child, he spoke as a child, he acted like a child, he thought as a child. But when he became adult or mature, he put away those childish things. And this is part of the process of us growing in our mind by being transformed by the renewing of our mind continually. And that is the only way that we're going to be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will for our life, as you see in Romans 12 and 2. Now, I also like to comment that if it takes a mind undergoing renewal to know God's will, it may be time to ask, how can I start the process of breaking the world's pattern of thinking and have my mind renewed? You also may want to ask, what specific things must I do to be transformed by the renewing of my mind? And here is some of the answers that you should make note of. The first response to those questions should be to read God's word and Christian literature. This will make you a more positive, joyful, and hopeful person. You can see Paul gave the same instruction to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Second thing you can do is pray, presenting your needs and thanksgivings to God, who cares deeply for you. Paul again said to the Philippian church in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. The third thing is fellowship. Fellowship with other Christians who are growing in the Lord. They will help you apply your faith. And so you can see a reference for that in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25. So as we look at the biblical guidelines for growth, we saw guidelines for our body. We just looked at guidelines for our mind. So I want each of you to get a blank sheet of paper, and you can do it following this review. And I want you to make three headings on it. On the first column, I want you to write down as many gifts, abilities, and talents that you can identify in your life. That's the first thing I want you to be able to do. And then secondly, column, I want you to write presently using for God's glory. And then the third column, I want you to write need to use for God's glory. So first column, list all the gifts, abilities, and talents that God is giving you. Second column, a block that says, are you presently using for God's glory? And then third, the need to use for God's glory. And I want you to check off the block that pertains to each of those gifts, abilities, or talents that you can list out. And for those that you are presently using, continue to develop those gifts. For those that you need to use for God's glory, pray for the enablement or empowerment of the Holy Spirit that you would use those talents, gifts, and abilities to glorify God. We know in Colossians chapter 3, Paul wrote to the church in Colossae that whatever you do in word or deed, let it all be done to the glory of God, our Father. So that is guidelines for our body and mind. Let's take a look at the guidelines for our spirit. The fourth objective asks us to define spiritual growth and lists three methods given in Scripture by which spiritual growth is possible. Now, I like to explain that spiritual growth means an increasing awareness of God's ways, that is, God's rules and principles or his way of doing things, and then putting them into action. So that is what we mean by spiritual growth, be an increasing awareness of God's ways and then putting those ways into action. So here's a question for you, students. How can you grow in favor with God? Well, here are some of the following outlines of passages of scriptures that you can think about. You can write these down. Matthew chapter 29, verse 39. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39 tells us to pray, where it says, yet not as I will, but as you will. You see, saints, it is okay to share our desires and preferences with God, but Having done so, we need to submit our will to His. We need to trust that His ways are higher and His wisdom greater than ours. And always remember, the purpose of prayer is not to bend our will, not to bend God's will to ours, but to have our will bent to His will. So Matthew 26, 39 is a good place to look at. Another scripture you can take a look at is Acts chapter 17, verse 11, which tells us how we should approach God's word. It tells us the Christians of Berea listened to the preaching of the word with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. A third thing we can do is found in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, where it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Fourthly, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 tells us of another gift of God to help us, the pastors and teachers. He has given these gifts to the body, as well as the apostles, prophets, and evangelists, to equip the saints for work of service, to bring us to maturity. A fifth and final scripture I want to give you is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, which admonishes us to live to please God more and more. That is, keep on progressing, saints. It is important that we have a teachable spirit and not become puffed up with pride after having acquired a little knowledge of God's word. Remember, being transformed by the renewing of our mind is a continual process. So we see here the guidelines for our spiritual growth. And our final area of growth is in our era, social relationships. So our fifth objective asks us to explain the importance of acting with wisdom and respect toward non-Christians. Now, a good example of someone who acted with wisdom and respect towards all people was Daniel, who was taken captive to Babylon as a young man. You can read Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 through 15. And as you review that portion of scripture, I'd like to ask you, how did Daniel show wisdom and respect and yet not compromise his faith in God? Well, the answer that our study guide alluded to and that scripture suggests is that he offered the chief official an alternative diet instead of just rebelling against his instructions. So he gained the respect and favor of the Babylonian officials by his consistently godly attitude and behavior. So here's a question for us, students. How can we live in such a way that we please both men and God? Now, I want to note that we're not seeking a certain formula, but the application of what we have studied to real life situations, as in the case that we just saw with Daniel. So I want you to think about some of the principles and rules that we've examined so far for guidelines for your body, for our mind, for our spirit, and for our relationship. So in conclusion to this review, the golden thread running through this lesson is the emphasis on reading and meditating and obeying God's word as our manual for godly living. So some of you may find it difficult to schedule Bible reading. This would be a good time for you to start thinking about what's the best time of day for you to study God's word or to have your daily devotion, whether it's before just waking up in the morning, at your lunchtime, or maybe before going to bed. So I want to pray that God will help each of us to live a consistently godly life as we receive guidance from God's word and enablement by the Holy Spirit. So we've studied lesson 6 of the course of Bible Ethics. God wants you to care for yourself. I pray that you see the 4 areas that God wants you to grow in and that you will apply the biblical guidelines for growth that we have studied today. So thank you so much, students, for allowing me this opportunity to come into your home. I look forward to continuing with these lessons with you. In the meantime, God bless you and good day.